All right, the next case is Holland v. Holland. And we'll just let them get out the door and then we'll get started.
Good morning.
Yeah, one second, thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Again, this is the matter of Holland v. Holland. Thank you.
Good morning.
Court accepts the apology and the defendant in this matter, Eric Holland. There are a number of issues in this case, but the most significant issue that we address initially is the court's placing a value of approximately $1 million on option to purchase 168 acres of farm ground.
Does an option to purchase survive when the lease to rent is terminated? Does the option to purchase survive when the lease to rent is terminated?
No.
And is there any authority out there that says that?
The only reason this lease got terminated is that out of the blue, this line of buy client had either inherited or was in line to inherit a degree of future $400,000. When you, after you apply the payments, $20,000 a year against the purchase price of $480,000, and you can buy that piece of property for $400,000 and wait a year and a day and turn it over and put it in your pocket $600 million, plus any taxes. Because Levon Larson's farm is a pioneer farm, means that it had been family's name for the years, he was concerned that Ms. Holland may exercise that option to use her inherited money to purchase the ground and hold on to it for selling. Part. The other thing that the trial court did not do is that it did not associate debt with the award of the option to purchase against the property. Obviously, if you're going to buy a piece of property, you're going to have to have some money to buy it. I don't think there was that kind of money laying around for Holland to come up with $400,000 to purchase that property. The other interesting thing is the hearing to set the evaluation happened sometime in 2015, and by that time the option to purchase the property had already expired. I don't see this any difference. At the time of the trial, let's assume that Ms. Holland had leased home in Holdridge, Nebraska, and at the end of 1 year had an option to purchase that residence for $250,000. So at the time of the trial, there's an existing option down the road to purchase the residence that she was leasing for $250,000. Surely, we wouldn't expect the trial court to value that option to purchase at $250,000 when it's not been exercised. There's no evidence that there was any intention to exercise this option.
Wasn't there a prior attempt to exercise the option, or at least to obtain financing?
They actually bought it at one time and couldn't service the debt and had to give it back. But for good intentions or on Larson, people probably would have been informed to pledge that property for
Mr. Schroeder, the district court said there's nothing in the lease agreement that indicates the landlord has the right to terminate the lease for the reasons that she gave. In your brief, you point out paragraph 2 of the lease agreement, which says this agreement may be terminated by either party upon notice in writing on or before September 1st for the next year or upon any breach. Is that provision applicable to the entire agreement? Is that provision applicable to the entire agreement or just to leasing the land on an annual basis?
I think it's applicable to the entire agreement. I don't see how you separate the option of purchase from the contract itself. I mean, the option of purchase is a contract. And when you terminate the contract, purchase as well as the department has done in the future.
Can you remind me when Ms. Larson gave the notice to terminate? Can you remind me when Ms. Larson gave the notice of the of the termination of the lease?
I don't remember exactly when, but it was shortly after we learned that Ms. Olin did the inheritance.
Does it sound like February 2017 was about right?
I think so.
All right. 2017. Yeah.
Appley cites Davidson, but I don't think Davidson applies in this case. Davidson adopted the time rule for options granted for past present purposes, factored into that part of the situation. Davidson case also talked about the if as when rule designed to apply to the Davidson case. Probably is more applicable in this case. But also the finding of the trial court respect to Judge Herbert finding that the termination of the lease was a sham suggests this court that does not have jurisdiction to make any findings with respect to whether the termination was a sham agreement between Mr. Bowen's grandmother, Alon Larson. Those findings, quite frankly, are nothing more than over dictum. Therefore, there was no presidential value with respect to whether it was a share or not.
But would you agree that the district court had jurisdiction to determine the marital estate? And
yes.
In essence, that's what Judge Harder did here, is say this option should be included as an asset in the marital estate. So the reason she said it may have not been correct, but that's her finding anyway.
I don't have any problem with the court finding or this court finding that the option to purchase something during the marriage is in the process. But suppose you had an option to purchase something at a specific period of time and before the marriage dissolution got started, the time to exercise the option had expired. It's no longer the marital asset.
They didn't exercise the option.
Yeah,
could one party have exercised the option up until February 2017 when it was terminated?
I spent a lot of time researching. I could not come to the conclusion that I felt comfortable with. I just don't know. They were obviously doing tenants. I don't know a situation like that where one of the parties that exercised the option without the other party. There's no law with that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I deserve what I have left.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
As Mr. Sherman indicated, there were a number of issues at the time. There were a number of issues that I do address. Principal issues. I'm trying to answer this question. First of all, the letter which purported to terminate the lease was dated August 1st. On Larson. I don't really understand the argument that the option had not been. Look at the lease agreement with options to purchase, and we did it for the And it's a fairly short lease. It's only 3 pages. The top caption reads, lease agreement with option to purchase. And then there are paragraphs 1 through 8. And then there's another heading, option to purchase, with a paragraph 9 with some letters and stuff. So the option to purchase, although it's in the same document as the lease, has no separate headings, has separate provisions for the default, which are in paragraph F. So the language in paragraph 2, it says the agreement may be terminated by either party upon notice in writing on or before September here, it really only applies to the lease. If you read the language of the option itself, it provides in paragraph 9, consideration of the mutual promise hearing tenant is defined as both parents. Tenant is hereby granted an option to purchase the property 10 years after the lease is executed. So the state's dependent on the lease is being influenced. Again, it's got its own provisions of its call.
It's that next phrase that catches my attention.
Right.
If tenant exercises the option, the following terms and conditions shall apply.
Right.
So not until they exercise the option does the rest of it matter.
And that is a good point. I think this, when you analogize the option to purchase real estate to the stock market, the closest possible, there's issues about whether or not something is vested and whether or not it's mature. This option is both vested and mature. The option didn't expire. The option still happens. If the lease is still in force, the option is still
given the issues with regard to what this means or doesn't mean, shouldn't this grandmother have been brought in as a necessary party? To both parties. They could have just kept whatever did still exist and deal with it outside the divorce.
It could have been awarded to both parties. It could have been awarded to the court.
Did your expert's testimony take into account that it might take a lawsuit to determine whether this option was any good or not?
No. He was given this opinion before determination. Some of the letters that the bond was sent in August was only after
parole evidence of this contract. I mean, shouldn't the court be looking strictly at the terms of this contract, and as Judge Artibar said, isn't that something that needs to be litigated outside the divorce?
The argument that there was no consideration of debt that would be required to exercise the option in valuing this option?
The debt on the property is the Dakota MAC debt, not what's considered. If you're talking about the cost...
Additional debt to purchase.
Yeah, interest, yeah, there wasn't any evidence. There was, and I think that would have been Mr. Holland's duty if he saw that there were going to be costs of this exercise. That would have been his duty to bring that forth. And to go back to your earlier question, it is possible that the court could have said you should litigate this outright or that it could have done it. But the way this had all been set up, that was almost impossible. So, consider for a second, put yourself in Mrs. Holland's shoes. First of all, it was, I don't know if this is apparent, but it's true. There were only certain ways this could line up to not be removed. Mrs. Holland was from St. Louis, all the family was from St. Louis, followed Mr. Holland all over the place, ended up in Holland. Mr. Holland was already making her out to be a pariah, who was the enemy trying to get her. She's not a farmer. She's out and out. Doesn't farm or take care of him. She knew that people would want that to be in the family. Imagine, she'd be the most hated person in town if she said, no, give that land to me. Right? And then we'd be talking about, well, she can't even stay in Holder's Town. And I know that's a few steps away from what we're talking about. But the idea is, everybody knows this is a good thing. Everybody agrees with it, including Mr. Holland. The only reason this issue of sale came up, which is kind of so offensive to the person, is because our expert in calculating it said, if it's difficult to get financing, we don't actually know that it is because Mr. Holland never passed it. The Dakota MAC representative said that I could have put it probably up. One point I know he had in that operating loan program. But if it's difficult to get funding, then it might be that a lender would be $30, which is appropriate to give him credit for time.
Could he have exercised it himself or your client herself? Or did they have to exercise it together?
I agree with Mr. Story that I don't think the law is clear as to whether either of them. So that's why our position is order that whoever doesn't have it has to fully cooperate with the person. And Mrs. Holland made it clear. If you give the option to Mr. Holland, if he wants to try to exercise it, I will fully cooperate. I will sign off. I will sign an assignment. I will do whatever needs to be done. Mr. Holland, on the other hand, made it absolutely clear that he was not going to cooperate for her to exercise. And again, this all kind of goes back to the idea that this is Holland family ground, right? It's surrounded by land, his own land. All the machinery that farms land. Right? And given, you know, the fact that he showed the expert that it was his grandmother, he sent us an interrogatory answer almost exactly mirroring the termination letter that we later got. And his attorney had contact with the grandmother's attorney and had revised the termination letter before the event. He was clear on all of those facts that Mr. Holland is the one orchestrating the attempt to try to terminate the lease so that he could make the argument that it didn't have value. And the option clearly did have value. I mean, if you looked at it like a stock option, it clearly did have value. The question is the spread. So when there's a focus on the fact that the option had expired, it hadn't expired. The option lasts for a period of 10 years, and as of December 31st, 2016, no one had sent any sort of letter or done anything. It clearly existed. It was unexercised. But it was vested and matured. It was simply unexercised. And Mrs. Holland was and remained fully cooperative to have it be. But Mr. Holland can't carry on to do that. And she can't, Mrs. Holland can't now try to have litigation with the grandmother and overcome all of the steps that Mrs. Holland has taken to make it almost impossible for her to take it. I did have a process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And how much time does Mr. Schroeder have left for rebuttal?
1 minute.
Thank you.
Well, I'll leave you with this thought. If we start placing value on exercised options, there will literally be a paradigm shift price value of the law. I couldn't tend to start with the definition. way to about to make. I'd like to very briefly address Kathleen's cross appeal. Unfortunately, when the temporary allowances were awarded in this case, previous farming group was $7 corn. No longer $7 corn as of 2013. So Mr. Holden paid up front $3,500 for service fees, $5,000 deposit for extra equipment fees. And at some period of time, Claire Holden removed $23,000 plus from the Dakota Bag operating account and paid $20,000 for it. I think Mr. Holden emerged.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Matter submitted.